Shall we turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 12? Genesis, chapter 12. And we read the first three verses, which will be the basis of our meditation this evening. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now to the New Testament, to the epistle to the Galatians, chapter 3. Epistle to the Galatians, chapter 3, and we read from verse 6. Abram believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many as are under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant. Yet, if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one. And to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that it should make the promise of none effect. For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise. But God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made. And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness would have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterward be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. May God bless to us that very instructive portion of Holy Scripture. Just to link up with last week, we then looked into a little detail of Abraham's origin, a son of Terah who dwelt in southern Babylon, Ur of the Chaldees. They worshipped strange gods, Abram included. We saw that it was to Abram that God appeared, not Terah. Abram. We looked at their departure from Ur, their tarrying at Haran, where Terah died. And from that point, from the death of Terah in Haran, from that point, we came on to the history of Abram proper. I said then that a new thing was coming into view, a kingdom of a different order to the kingdoms of men. And I made reference, you will remember, to that very illuminating verse in Nehemiah chapter 9 and verse 7, where we learnt that Abram was being thus called and led out because of divine choice. And this is ever the case, one said, with regard to the kingdom of God. Each citizen of the kingdom of heaven is there because of election and effectual calling. From here we go further into our study. We come to Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. From a human point of view, the advantages of remaining where he was in Ur of the Chaldees in southern Babylon far outweighed those of going to Palestine. But states the Spirit of God in the Epistle to the Hebrews, which we shall be looking at in greater detail in weeks which lie ahead. In the Epistle to the Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8 we read, it was by faith Abram, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned, a very important word, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him in the promise. Not going into the detail of those verses tonight, but they'll come before us, and they are very illuminating. But you see, a divine work of grace was going on here. Faith is in operation. From whence cometh faith? Faith is a gift from God. Ephesians 2, verse 8. It's not something which man conjures up. Faith which is of man is not a saving faith. By grace are men saved through faith, but that not of themselves. It is the gift of God. How does faith come? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10, verse 17. Faith cometh by hearing. The God of glory, we saw it last time, the God of glory appeared unto Abram. This man had known divine visitation. God had spoken. Abram heard with a spiritually enlightened mind, and faith was imparted. He knew effectual calling. He went out, says the Hebrew epistle. Yes, friends, but this was not just one initial act. It was not just one initial act of faith. It was the embarking upon a life of faith. His life from now on was to be one of sojourning and pilgrimage. And the 10th verse of Hebrews chapter 11 says, "For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and whose maker is God. They that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. Now they desire," says the Spirit of God in the Hebrew epistle, "now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God." Now here is a man, he's still upon earth, but he's a citizen of heaven. He's a member of the kingdom of God. A man brought out of idolatry, they served other gods, brought into vital relationship with the God of heaven, the true and living God. And what is more, justified in his sight. Living now by faith. For the scripture says, this is how it must be. For the just shall live by faith. It's not exercising faith at the end of a gospel campaign, a once and for all thing. Not a bit of it. It's the entering into an entirely new life, being justified in the presence of God, and that just person living by faith. An ongoing thing which will continue until faith gives place to sight in that better country. This is how the just live, by faith. Oh, let me repeat, it is not one initial act. It is a life of dependence upon and obedience to the commands and the will of God. Now let us go on to see what was the will and purpose of God in thus calling Abram. Verse 2 of Genesis 12. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, as is so often the case in Holy Scripture, more than one truth is contained in a particular section. We have seen this so often, and it is so here. Not contradictory truths, but complementary. This will become more apparent as we proceed. There is a material and there is a spiritual aspect in these verses. Now, there are seven things in these two verses promised to Abram. And in these seven things, we are to discover something of the reason and purpose of God in divine sovereignty choosing this man out of Ur of the Chaldees. First promise, I will make of thee a great nation. Now, in the Word of God, nations invariably refer to Gentiles or to the heathen. Now, we have already seen these nations, their heads, the families from which they descended. I say invariably, when we read of nations in the Word of God, it refers to these Gentiles, these heathen nations scattered abroad, now confused by a language barrier. But here, this great nation refers to Israel, a people who, like this man Abram, would be separate from other nations. The term great here implies more than to their population or to their territory, the area which they would occupy. The greatness, we must note, is of God's making. Therefore, it involves true greatness in every sense. I will make thee great. Now, the sons of Japheth, we saw, they would know enlargement, prosperity. They were allotted territory in the northern half of the globe, particularly referring to Europe. They became great in another sense. But here God says concerning this nation, I will make them great. It's not numerical. It's not regarding their territory. It's true greatness. But let us not forget that statement which closes the generation of Shem. A statement which I said last week as we closed those generations, that genealogy. I asked you to particularly register verse 30 of Genesis chapter 11. But Sarah was barren. She had no child. Here's a man married to a woman who could have no children. She was sterile. And God says, I will make of thee a great nation. Made to a man whose wife could have no children. Did Abram say impossible? Did he commence to argue or to reason? Romans 4, verse 3, for what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham believed God. God said it. Abram believed it. Abram, I'll make of thee a great nation. Abram believed. Secondly, I will bless thee. The second promise, I will bless thee. This surely is the answer to any problem which may have been posed by the first promise. It was the answer to it. Abram, I will make of thee a great nation. Abram believed it. God went on, I will bless thee. When the blessing of God is upon a man and upon a woman, the barrenness of their present condition means nothing. The blessing of God was to rest. The benefits, the favor, yes, and the power of God. The power of the God of wonders was to be upon him and his blessing. And this second promise, following on immediately after the first, I believe, was a tremendous encouragement and a great stimulation to the faith of the patriarch. The third promise, I will make thy name great. Now it was not, Abram, you've left Ur of the Chaldees, you've obeyed my word, you're going to make a name for yourself. No, no. Abram, I will make thy name great. What do we read later? I'm flashing forward now. We shall come to these chapters in the months that lie ahead, but I flash forward just for a few moments. God said, Abram, I will make thy name great. And in verse 5 of the 17th chapter, we read the marginal reading, I quote, of our authorized version, Abram, the father of a great multitude. The man with a wife who's barren. He's the father of a great multitude. Verse 17 of the 18th chapter. There he's a man taken in to the very confidence of Almighty God. Jehovah said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide it from this man of faith? And God took him into his confidence. Verse 7 of the 20th chapter tells us that he is a prophet. Prophet of the Most High God. Genesis 23, verse 6. Hear us, my Lord. Thou art a mighty prince among us. The alternate Hebrew rendering here, as seen in the margin of your authorized version, is thou art a prince with God. Come over to the New Testament, the Epistle of James, chapter 2, and verse 23. And there Abram is called the friend of God. The friend of God. I say, what mortal of earth has had a greater name than this? A man in whom Almighty God confided. A prophet, the father of a multitude. A prince with Jehovah. Very friend of God. I will make thy name great. No man ever had a greater name on earth. The fourth promise, thou shalt be a blessing. Being thus blessed of God, Abram becomes a public figure. He becomes a representative man. All important and vital issues depend upon him. The grace of God is not to reside in him alone. From him, from his loins, it is to flow out to others. He's a representative. He's a fountainhead. The fifth promise, I will bless them that bless you. The favor of God will be towards those that are favorable to this man who is chosen of God. The sixth promise, I will curse him that curseth thee. To touch this person is to seize upon the Lord's anointed, the apple of God's eye. The curse of Almighty God will be upon such persons. The seventh promise, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now we must note the language used here. All families of the earth. Now again, we see and we come into the strength of consecutive ministry. These families we have already examined. All families of the earth. They sprang from three heads. Genesis chapter 10 is the context. Verse 1, these are the generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And by these, verse 5, were the isles of the Gentiles divided in their lands, every one after his tongue, after their families, in their nations. By these three, divided in their lands that allotted to them, the isles of the Gentiles, every one after his own tongue, after their families, Shem, Ham, Japheth. Verse 20. These are the sons of Ham after their families, after their tongues, in their countries, and in their nations. Verse 32, these are the families of the sons of Noah after their generations, in their nations. And by these were the nations divided in the earth after the flood. Now I said earlier that there is more than one aspect of truth contained in these opening verses of Genesis chapter 12. That there is a material aspect I do not deny, which is what the major part of the Old Testament history now before us is all about. I do not deny that. It's authentic history. This is not allegory. These things happened. They have their material meaning. Of course they do. It's authentic Old Testament history. The Old Testament is full of it. But the fulfillment of this covenant, that is in its full meaning, is not seen in the Old Testament. It is in the New Testament. The blessings of God through Abram in the Old Testament is to a national Israel. And true, Israel was a great nation amongst the many heathen nations. It was the nation, the one and only nation, that was favored of God. They were peculiar. They were brought out for that specific purpose. That's all Old Testament. It was a national Israel, and they were a great nation. God made them so. Wasn't any credit to Israel. In fact, when it came to battle and to military skill, if the God of heaven had turned his favor from that people, they weren't great at all. The heathen would soon overrun them. They weren't great in their own standing. It was only that God made them great. Yes, but if they kept to the covenant, God was true to his word. Israel was great among the heathen nations. But this was not the ultimate. The nation of Israel of the Old Testament was only prefiguring the great Israel of God of the New Testament. God says, all the families of the earth were to be blessed. Now I ask you, let's interpret the word of God correctly and with just basic common sense. Were all the families of the earth blessed in the Old Testament? Through the seed of Abraham? It was only the race of Shem through Abram in the Old Testament. And again, this covenant, like the Noahic covenant, is but a further unfolding of the eternal counsel. It is yet another part of the everlasting covenant, which has in view, that everlasting covenant, ever has in view, not a national Israel, but an election of grace, a people chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world. That's the content of that covenant. And all these other covenants are only unfoldings of that, little by little and bit by bit, as varying covenants are brought before us, more of that is unfolded. And more is unfolded here than even there was in the Noahic covenant. An election of grace is what is in view. A people out of every land and tribe and nation. The three prime families of the earth are in view. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Can you not see, friends, how wrong it is to make this Abrahamic covenant an earthly and a Jewish thing in its final? Oh, I am glad that ere long we shall take up in the will of the Lord a detailed study of the covenants. The Lord's hand of guidance and overruling in our study of his word to me is very wonderful, as he leads us on into an ever-increasing appreciation of divine truth. He's not plunged us into the deep end so that we should be absolutely overwhelmed and bogged down and muddled in our thinking. Has he not over the years led us on, first in waters up to the ankles, then up to the knees, then up to the loins, into waters to swim in? I do not want to intrude too much upon this future subject, but as it comes within the terms of reference of this present series, I must clear the ground, and as one had to with regard to the Noahic covenant. So here we have the Abrahamic covenant coming before us, and I'm only briefly referring to it. When we come to it in later months in detail, there will be this little preview which will help us. I say again, it is far, far more than a national Israel in focus here in early Genesis chapter 12. Oh, let the Holy Spirit give confirmation of this from the New Testament. Galatians chapter 3 is the great commentary, as well as Hebrews chapter 11. What did we read tonight from the 8th verse of Galatians 3? And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. This isn't a national Israel. The scripture was foreseeing that God would justify the heathen. The sons of Ham, of Japheth, all the families of the earth, the heathen. Through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abram, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. It's Hebrews, it's Genesis 12 in view. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed, said God to Abram. At that very point in Old Testament history, when he had just so recently scattered the families of the earth to the four corners of the globe and confounded their language. And then in the very next chapter, God says, Abram, in thee, all families are going to be blessed. God was going to justify the heathen through him. Verse 14, that the blessing of Abram might come on the Gentiles. Now, what can you have it clearer than that? Not that there would be a bit of a spin-off through Israel and the Gentiles would benefit by it. Not a bit. The blessing of Abram, the self-same blessing, would come onto the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Gentiles, all the families of the earth coming into the blessing of Abraham. Verse 70, and this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, that's going back, the covenant confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after, cannot disannul that? That it should make that promise of none effect? This covenant was evidently confirmed to Abram again. Indeed it was, we shall see it in a few weeks' time. It was confirmed to Abram again 430 years before the law was given to Moses. According to Calvin, who's very, very helpful again on this section, according to Calvin, this was at the time of his actual entry into Canaan. And at this time of confirmation, it has reference to Christ. And again is the eternal purpose in view. Blessing is to come to all the families of the earth through Abraham by virtue of the fact that Christ, according to the flesh, was of his seed. Calvin says, included in his loins. Now states the Apostle Paul, under divine inspiration, in verse 17 of Galatians 3, the fact that the law was given to Moses and that all the ritual and ceremony of the Jewish economy was set up 430 years after that confirmation, this in no way disannuls the original promise. God hasn't thought up some new scheme of things. It's the eternal purpose which he ever has in view. The earthly Israel, the old economy, that's but a temporary thing. It doesn't disannul the promise. The fact that he had introduced this 430 years after, That's only a temporal thing. The nonsense that the old covenant is going to be reinstated and a temple built and Jewish sacrifices again. The annulling and doing away of the new covenant and the old coming in to supersede it yet again. It's another gospel. It's anathema. We cannot teach these things. Now, in the loins of Abraham was Christ, and in him all nations of the earth was to be blessed. Whatever happened afterwards regarding the Mosaic and Levitical economy doesn't disannul the promise. Yes, all these covenants have reference in the ultimate to the everlasting covenant. It's the eternal purpose of God. And the law given to Moses, I repeat again, does not revoke this. The Israelitish setup, although ordained of God, was but of temporary duration. That old order would eventually give way to the new. Indeed, that old order was only designed to prefigure the new. That's all. When the antitype came, that was done away. It prefigured the new until the fullness of the time had arrived. In the plan and in the program of God for the complete fulfillment of that promise made to Abram. Now, in conclusion, one must say, as one holds all Scripture together, that the ultimate fulfillment of verses 2 and 3 of Genesis chapter 12 is not of an earthly Israel, but in the church, the true Israel, the election of grace, chosen of God and called from all the families of the earth. And beloved, we are blessed with faithful Abraham. We are heathen Gentiles, blessed with him. What did we read? For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. We thank God that we have the assurance of such faith. And for those who have not this faith, we pray that through the hearing of the Word of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, that faith might be imparted to your eternal salvation. Amen. Hymn number 332, a debtor to mercy alone, of covenant mercy, I sing, nor fear with thy righteousness on my person and offering to bring. 332.